You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer,
where
readers
and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts, Bobby Jean and
Jim Bell.
And we're so delighted that you're with us again this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Or maybe you're listening down the road. We thank you for being with us. Let's see. Our opening music was Hot Texas, written and performed by our good friends, the Hot Texas Swing Band. And who is our guest tonight?
Who's our guest tonight? I was going to ask you that. Oh, Carol Vandenhende.
We are so excited to have Carol with us tonight. She's going to join us on camera right here. Hey, Carol. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to see you.
We're delighted. I think Jim's going to say a little something about you, and then we'll be off and running.
Yeah, we have a short bio. Carol is an award-winning author who pens stories of resilience and hope. Her novels, Orchid Blooming and Goodbye Orchid, are inspired by wounded veterans and have won 20-plus literary awards, including American Fiction Award, Eon Outstanding Fiction First Novel Award, and Royal Dragonflies for Cultural Diversity and Disability Awareness. Carol's mission is unlocking optimism as a writer, speaker, strategist, board member, and climate reality leader. One secret to her good fortune, her humorous husband and teenage twins, who prove that love really does conquer all. Welcome, Carol.
Thanks so much. Great to see you.
Well, we want to ask, because in everything that we've read, you always give that lovely line about your husband and your boys. So how did you and your husband meet?
Would you believe books? The answer is books, of course. Because the funniest thing was, you know, public transportation can bring strangers together. Yeah. My husband and I were on the same train, and he happened to be carrying a book that I wanted to read. And so I asked him about it, and he said, guess what? Besides working as an engineer during the day, at night I work at a bookstore. No, all you have to do is give me your address and I'll send you a copy of this book. And so I gave him my P.O. box address. Very safe.
Smart, very smart.
He sent me the book. I sent him a thank you card and he started writing me longhand letters. This was back in the day with envelopes and stamps.
Okay,
we have a box full of these beautiful letters.
That's
great.
You know, that is so, what a wonderful story.
Yeah, it's good.
That's just such a touching story. Yeah. And there are so many elements of that. The fact that letter writing, you know, I was chatting with an author a couple of weeks ago that had written a book on Johnny Cash interviews that had never really seen the light of day. And one of the challenges for lots of writers today, especially in nonfiction, is everything's going digital. And you think, okay, I can get it online, but your husband's letters are not online. You know, we're losing. I get concerned about 50 years from now and 100 years from now. And how will people do, how will research change? And when we're just texting, you know, I used to print out emails, copies of emails. I have them from my dad and such. But now with everybody texting, how are we going to protect all of the technology information that we're getting that is not printed.
Yeah, who we are.
Yeah.
Here's an even funnier example of that. I wrote journals for my twins ever since they were born, from day one until they were adults. And now in schools, they don't teach the ability to write or read cursive. My twins can't even read the journals that I wrote for them.
You know, that's just The first time I heard that, I was just stunned. I mean, how can that, you won't be able to go back and read the Declaration of Independence and understand what it says?
There's job security. Somebody's job is going to be the translation.
Yeah. What is the Declaration of Independence?
Oh, shush. Well, we both read, Jim was actually getting, we both read a book. I read Goodbye Orchid, because when I picked it up to read it, it was the first book that was published. And then he read Orchid Blooming. And then we would sometimes sitting side by side on the couch reading, and he'd say, what happens? Do you know? And I'd say, what are you talking about? And I'd say, just shush and just keep reading. And then we would sort of talk, and we would realize that the books have common characters, of course, and there are many similar themes that run through them. But they really do, you do really want readers listening, you want to read both of these books. And why don't you tell us, Carol, where did these come? We both enjoyed them tremendously. What inspired you to write these books?
Listen, the short answer is combat wounded veterans. But luckily, we have enough time for the longer, really interesting answer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because both of these books, and you've read them, thank you so much, are incredible emotional roller coasters. And so, although they're inspired by wounded veterans, they're not military characters themselves. They are really on such an emotional journey. So actually, chronologically, Orchid Blooming comes first, even though it was published later. And your listeners are going to meet Orchid Page, beautiful 27-year-old Orchid Page who works in the beauty industry. However, she's had tragedy in her childhood that has followed her into adulthood. And of course, you know, losing her parents at a young age has colored so much of her whole life. And now, as an adult, what she wants more than anything is to win a work trip to China. She is half Asian, and she wants to feel that connection with her mother's ancestry. But it is super competitive, and her boss tells her she needs to get more advertising experience. Lucky for her, she meets the head of an ad agency. His name is Phoenix Walker, and you know where this is going. She needs the work experience. Yes. And she promises herself that they are not going to cross the line, even though the chemistry is crazy between them. Mm-hmm. She's going to keep it work, all work, and keep him at arm's distance. Mm-hmm. And Jim, since you've read the book, you know how well that turns out. Yeah.
Well, the serendipity in how they meet is a little like the serendipity with your husband. Different story, but the serendipity that she happens, I think, to be, these are not spoiler alerts. These are things that we want to avoid all kinds of really wonderful things that you want to read. We do not want to tell you, but they kind of do meet, as many people do, in a bar, but she makes a mistake and goes to the wrong restroom. Yes. And what I thought was so interesting is in the book that I read, there's a reference to that later on in the book, but Jim had already kind of told me that in his book, that's sort of how they met. And then when I read the reference to it in Goodbye Orchid, I thought, you know, the author was either really brilliant or she already had written Orchid Blooming. It was in her back pocket because she makes a reference to something that is not yet public. When Goodbye Blooming is published, this reference is not yet out there for the general public.
It's so true. You know, authors have to know so much backstory to be able to create these real life characters that feel like you can run into them down the street in the grocery store, you know, and so to imagine that full backstory was really needed to be able to write and publish Goodbye Orchid. And so it's such a wonderful pleasure that readers asked me for more of the story. They wanted to know what happened before page one of Goodbye Orchid. And that's how Orchid Blooming came about. And you're right. So much of that story was already known in my mind. However, even myself as the author, I was caught by surprise with the number of secrets and twists and turns that ended up in Orchid Blooming. Even though I had created the characters, they take on a life of their own.
Did you, I always love to hear that. Did you find that you had to say to whatever character was wanting to go their own direction? Did you have to say no, I hear you, but no, that won't work? Or did you just say, okay, fine, hands off, let me just pen it, let me just type it? How did you deal with those surprises?
Listen, it is a collaboration. It is a collaboration between the author and the characters. And there were many times I would be driving my car to work or to the grocery store, and Phoenix would be in the front seat, Orchid would be in the back seat, and the two of them would be chatting with each other and chatting with me, or they'd flip seats. And so, listen, there was lots of collaboration all around.
How interesting. Well, since we're talking about Phoenix Walker and Orchid Page, you know, Jim, I'm sorry, but Phoenix is the guy we all want. You know,
he's like perfect.
I love you, honey. I wouldn't give you up for anything. Not at all, but you know, as a reader, Phoenix is that guy that probably most ladies would want, and most men might like to be like. And of course, Orchid is gorgeous and really talented and really a great heart. They're two wonderful characters. Where was I going with this? How was it to write, like, Orchid or Phoenix is sort of the perfect man, although we learn as human, he's human. But what's it like to write a character for you, woman, to write Phoenix? Was writing Phoenix challenging?
You know, Bo, such an insightful question. And I want to talk about Phoenix because you're right. Your readers, your listeners are going to fall in love with Phoenix Walker. And we're going to talk about why. But you're right. You know, to write a character who is in a different gender or different ethnicity or different background, different profession, any of those things requires an author to have both incredibly deep point of view, we call it POV, as well as empathy. And so much of my mission in my writing, what I'm striving to do, is really inspire hope and empathy. Mm-hmm. And I think by going so deep inside a character, that really brings it to life. Now, Phoenix in particular, I love, Bobby Jean, that you love Phoenix, because he does, you know, on the surface, it really seems like he has it all. He is successful. He's the founder of an ad agency. He's, you know, had professional success. He's been an athlete. He's been, you know, student president. He's always had this like beautiful life. And yet the reason I had to make him a character like that is because when he falls, it is such a far fall. Mm-hmm. And that is when I say the stories are inspired by combat wounded veterans. That's the journey of a veteran when they go off to fight for our freedom. They are incredibly trained. They're physically fit, mentally fit. And then when they're injured or wounded, they fall so far. Mm-hmm. And that's Phoenix's journey, is that from the top of his game to falling so far and then finding his way back and finding that actually, no matter what happens, he is more than whole.
Mm-hmm. I know you have. I've been hogging all the time. Okay. You must have something you want to say.
You know, that opening scene, it's not quite the opening scene.
In which book?
In the first one.
Okay.
In the first one.
In Goodbye Orchid?
She goes to the bar with her friend Mandy. Mandy, who has a little baby at home.
Yes.
Poor Mandy is changing diapers all the time. And it's, I think it's kind of getting to her. She needed to get out.
She needed to get out, in Orchid Blooming.
But it's kind of like a meeting, like a picture with James Dean and Humphrey Bogart and Presley and Marilyn Monroe. All four main characters meet in this one place.
They meet in that one bar, in the bar?
In the bar.
Yeah.
Because the brother's sitting at the bar.
That's right.
And
Caleb.
You have Phoenix. At first, you don't know they know each other.
Right.
You just know that Mandy and Orchid are sitting at the other end of the bar talking. And they're talking about Phoenix, of course. Well, we've talked about, you know, Caleb, but Caleb's not as cute as Phoenix.
I like Caleb too, though. Tell us about his brother, Caleb, the twin brother.
Caleb is really incredible. And, you know, I'm a mom of twins, so I do love to write twins. And this idea that perhaps people might assume that twins are really similar, but twins can be really different. And that's the way in which I depicted Phoenix and Caleb. They're so different. You know, so Phoenix, we described, is all put together. And then Caleb, he is tough. He's tattooed. He's running tattoo parlors. And actually, he is an entrepreneur and
he's successful too.
Yes, just two different paths,
two different uses of ink.
Yes,
yeah. You know,
love him.
You know, I started reading the second book. You know, Goodbye Orchid.
For him, the second book, Goodbye.
I've been about 50 pages so far, so
he can't put it down.
We got a new character. I'm not. She kind of come up in name wise, but not really. Understanding and see it, or was Sasha, is that her name?
Oh, Sasha.
Yeah. Caleb's ex-girlfriend.
We like
her
too.
She's a very interesting character.
Yep. Red latex wrapped, a spicy, but a good heart also.
Oh, well, for sure. And, oh, for sure.
And she comes into Phoenix. Mm. I mean, Phoenix knew her from through the brother and all, but she comes in. Phoenix is, here's the, without spoiler alerts, is this, You've mentioned he goes through something that takes his life, changes his life, and it changes the life of everybody around him also. And I felt as a reader that you were very sensitive in opening this topic up for us, not only for what Phoenix himself is going through, but everybody in Phoenix's world, from his, I like her too, his assistant Liv at the agency, you know, to his mom, to Caleb, everybody that's close to him is involved in what happens. How was it for you to write about those other characters?
Such a good observation, because listen, in all of our lives we are interconnected, aren't we? And so when something happens in our lives, it does affect those who love us, around us, our friends, our family. And that's very much the case. You know, there's an accident that changes in Phoenix's life in an instant. It happens right in chapter one. These are page turners. The action starts in media res, right on page one, right in chapter one. And so, you know, I think for me, it was so important to be able to show those different points of view. That Phoenix's accident, you're right, changes not only his life, but the people around him. And because I wrote in those multiple points of view, I had one of the most insightful pieces of feedback from a reader who was a combat wounded veteran. And it was Sergeant Doc Jacobs, actually. Doc Jacobs told me that he, who had been blown up in Iraq when he was, in active duty, he ended up with injuries, sustaining injuries to three of his limbs, lost one of his legs, and actually recently just had something like his 86th surgery from everything he had been through. And so he had read Goodbye Orchid and he loved the story. And he told me it reminded him of his time. He spent 11 months at Walter Reed, you know, recovering. It reminded him of his time. And he was just so grateful to have that depicted. But the thing that so stuck with me, he said to me that not only did it remind him of his experience, it actually gave him deeper insight into his own experience, because he had always seen what had happened, his accident, you know, his injuries, his recovery from his own perspective. But because Goodbye Orchid is written also in Veronica's perspective, Phoenix's mother, Caleb's perspective, Phoenix's twin brother, Sasha's perspective, Liv, all of these people, he actually all of a sudden realized what his dad and his grandma must have been through, who had spent a large part of those 11 months by his bedside, and how hard it must have been for them. So he had that, you know, deepened insight and appreciation for what they had been through.
What led you, or what inspired you to think about that, the multiple viewpoints? And of course, they're not written in first person, but we still get, you know, we're getting the view but not written in first person, which to me as a reader was interesting because I'm like, oh, this is the mom's story, but it's not, we're not hearing it as, you know, we're getting her, but we're getting her point of view. What inspired you to decide to do that and encourage those characters to share?
The very first inspiration was the fact that we needed to see both Phoenix and Orchid's points of view, because right. after the accident, Phoenix holds such an enormous secret.
I know he does. Holding that secret had to be as painful as the physical pieces yes. that he was going through.
It was. And he did it out of love and self-sacrifice and thinking it was the best thing to protect. Mm-hmm. To protect her. Mm-hmm. But it was so important to write in multiple points of view because we had to see that agony that and the decision and how hard that was for Phoenix. And we also had to see the impact on Orchid mm-hmm. and the fact that she didn't know this big secret and, you know, how agonizing that was for her. One of the reviewers, Susan Cushman, lovely author, who said of the book, when she read Goodbye Orchid, she said, you know, this is like a modern day Affair to Remember.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. That movie, An Affair to Remember, which right. also has yeah. that yeah. kind of agony where the secret mm. is just so hard for both sides.
Right. Mm. We are talking with author, the author of Orchid Blooming and Goodbye yeah. Orchid. I'm going to hold them up to the camera again. And we're going to just take a very brief break and help you find out how you can purchase these books and support independent booksellers at the same time. And we'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com. Find books and CDs on the menu. Choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. Our special guest tonight, Carol Vandenhende. You know, we have a question. You know, we're into the book. We want to ask a question about the covers, you know, because you get an award for that. But I want to ask another question about the characters.
Yeah.
Which is a big issue, because we talked about this the other night. Trust. How does trust fit in here with these folks?
Yeah, you know, that's such a great question because, listen, Orchid Page, as a character, she lost her parents at the age of 12 and has, you know, really dealt with that tragedy and that trauma. And therefore, she does have a hard time trusting. She has to learn to trust herself and to trust others to be able to know that she can love truly and deeply. And that is such a big part of her character arc. There are multiple character arcs. You know, we talked before the break about Phoenix's character arc, mimicking that of a combat wounded veteran. But Orchid also has, you know, so much to overcome. And similar to combat wounded veterans, part of what she discovers is the PTSD that holds her back and how she addresses that and really finds the strength and resilience to help herself through that.
You know, she seems to have dated a few folks, but she's 27 and she's certainly not dating now. And she talked a little reference about she's had some biker boys, some bad boys she's apparently dated. And I'm sure they got her off in the wrong direction.
Trust issues. Well, and Phoenix isn't really dating, you know,
he's kind of had some
women in his life, but he hasn't given his heart to anybody yet, really. And so
I think maybe he has a trust issue. I
think so. I would say so. He has, they both kind of have a little challenge. Well, I don't know. That's a spoiler alert. I better not say this. Well, they have a little challenge with, I love you. They have a little challenge with, I mean, even to the brother or his mom or, you know, they have a little challenge.
And then the other thing they do have in common is the loss of parents. And, you know, and that does cause deep, deep wounds.
Yeah,
right?
That's well, true.
Phoenix also, yeah. when he loses his father, feels that his father, who was a judge, it's hard for Phoenix to ever live up to him. Even though Phoenix is incredibly successful and doing well, he still wonders, mm-hmm. can he fully live up to the legacy of his father? And that is a complicated set of emotions.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting comment that Victoria, the mom, makes, and I can't remember which character she's speaking with, but she's describing her sons, her twin sons. Mm-hmm. And she's talks about, well, one of them, you will remember this better than me. One of them liked to get, you know, A's or wasn't even happy with an A minus and would do extra work. And the other one was like a B minus was okay. You know, that's fine. And they just had, she recognized that how they were as individuals, as mom watching them grow up. And I thought, you know, she's described Victoria as we've seen it. The author has shown us this through conversations and their character actions and so forth. We see it. But when the mom crystallizes it so simply with that sort of example with just grades, you kind of go like, okay, I got it.
Yeah, it's true. And that scene is so touching because she's basically telling that story to Phoenix. Reminding him of what they were like as children, because she's trying to point out that he has had a perfectionist streak since the early days. And that although, and I think, you know, people do fall into this where they feel like the perfectionism is a good thing. Like, oh, I'm striving to produce quality work. I'm trying as hard as I can. And certainly those can be quite admirable. But if you take it too far, then it can become really an obstacle. And that's Phoenix's issue, is when he is changed forever in that instant after the accident, he believes that he is not the same person. And he's holding himself to these perfection standards that when actually what he needs to learn is that he is more than okay. He is still himself no matter what may have happened to him. And that is, you know, Veronica's beautiful way of saying that through her storytelling, through reminding Phoenix about his childhood, is to give him that lesson.
Well, and you introduce a character, Rena. I think it's Rena. Is that how she says, would say her name? And she comes at just the right moment into Phoenix's life. And I thought that that was also kind of a brilliant introduction of a character at a point in Phoenix's life where he needed her. Did she just jump, you know, onto your keyboard, or how did Rena make herself known to you?
Yeah, you know, listen, it is a fun life being an author. Anyone who's out there listening and thinking about writing, you should just try it, because it is so interesting to me how things do just pop up on the page. You know, that here it is, Phoenix had was out of the hospital finally, was making progress, and he goes to the corner Starbucks. He goes to his neighborhood coffee shop. And as he's opening the door, he runs into a woman on a Saturday. She's wearing, you know, like a business trench coat. And she is, you know, her back is ramrod straight. And she tells him that she's an actuary. They start talking and realizing that they're kind of like opposites in a lot of ways. But you're right. The way in which she shows him that she is, that he is still a man, that he is still desirable, is so healing for him. And so in some ways, she was the right person at the right time, although in some ways, perhaps not.
I know. But that's life too, you know.
You know, did the mother have a favorite?
Oh,
you know, and she grapples with this, right?
In the hospital. I thought she did, yeah.
She grapples with this in the hospital after the accident. She is saying that she never thought that this would happen, and, you know, that there was actually part of her that was grateful that it wasn't Caleb that it happened to, because she thinks of him as being, you know, less able to deal with hardship. But then, you know, there's surprises all along the way.
Yeah, there are.
That she has into both boys, that both boys have insights into themselves. It is, chock full of the insights.
So character names, how did you determine the character name? You know, how did you determine the character names and did they end up having meaning?
Yeah, I mean, the two main characters, the names are very meaningful. And I think one is more evident than the other. You know, people know that Phoenix is from mythology, that phoenixes, you know, in mythology, they are these, you know, strong birds, but they burn to ashes and then they have to rise from those ashes. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, Phoenix Walker's journey. When he is injured in that accident, he finds himself in the hospital. He realizes, you know, in that hospital, he's actually thinking about and longing for Orchid, but he looks down the hospital bed and realizes he's become the very image of trauma that will trigger her and has to be faced with the hardest decision of his life, whether to love her, he needs to leave her. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he has to rise from that, you know, very low point, just like a phoenix in mythology would have to rise from ashes. The name Orchid, though, that one is very meaningful also, but perhaps a little more nuanced and not as easy to figure out what the meaning is. You know, feel free if you have a guess or if you
want. Oh, no, we'd much rather hear it from you.
Well, you know, so orchids have a reputation for being quite delicate, which I myself have this feeling because, you know, ever since my books Goodbye Orchid and Orchid Blooming came out, my friends love to give me orchids as gifts and I am so appreciative. They're so beautiful. But I worry that I'm going to kill them, that they're not going to keep blooming.
Yeah, I've never been able to keep one alive. Yeah, no.
Yeah, so they have a reputation, a well-deserved reputation for being delicate. Which is, you know, Phoenix sees Orchid, the character, as being delicate. And that's why he feels he has to protect her from what's happened to him. Mm-hmm. But yet, if you talk to orchidologists, you find out that orchids are quite hardy and resilient in the wild. They grow in the rainforest. They grow on bark. They grow on other plants and trees. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they can be incredibly resilient. And that's what's so beautiful about the character Orchid. Because although she might seem like she's delicate after having witnessed the death of her parents and been traumatized by that, she on the inside is incredibly strong and hardy, resilient, and she rises to the occasion.
Mm-hmm. You know what I find interesting? That's not her favorite flower, though, is it?
Well, she might have had one too many orchid jokes. It'd be too obvious.
You know, but she is strong. Here's a young woman who's, you know, the goal is I want to go to China. And she doesn't, even though she has some Asian background, she doesn't speak Mandarin. She's quite a remarkable young woman that way. She is ready to pack the bag and go. And so she's not a shrinking violet. She's ready to take on life. And I wonder if she's really sort of learned how to segment things, put things in a box or, you know, put something away so that she can go on, and then recognizing that there are vulnerabilities that she's going to have to deal with sometime, but she's not going to let life, she's not going to sit down and not grab a hold of life. And I love that about her. She's not intimidated.
People have, readers have described her as a fierce female protagonist.
Yeah.
She is strong and people fall in love with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sort of sorry that Phoenix doesn't see that sooner. But he has his own. He has his own battles he has to go through. Let's see. Okay, so do you want to talk about the book, since we're talking about Orchid and the beauty of the Orchid? Do you want to take a moment and talk about book design a little bit?
The covers?
Yeah.
Absolutely, because I love beautiful things. And so the cover design was really important to me. And it was wonderful to be able to collaborate with the designers at Polar Books to be able to work on first Goodbye Orchid, and then Sarah Flood Bauman was the designer for Orchid Blooming. Both of these have images of orchids, but they're not just normal orchids. You can see orchid blooming that you're holding up there. The petals are blooming. And with Goodbye Orchid, the orchids are shattered. And the shattered orchids represent the physical and emotional shattering of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are those orchids on the outside and on the cover, they're also inside.
Mm-hmm.
Flip through the book and you look at the bottom right corner of every page. The
here and then the bottom. I was trying to do this on camera to practice this. Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
Let's see. Well, just
the bottom right corner of every page has an image of orchids. And when you flip through, the orchids will appear to shatter.
Yeah, right.
Get to the darkest point of the story.
Mirror. Yeah, I have to get camera. Yeah, you can tell I haven't done this very often. Yes. We can watch how Carol does it.
I've done it a few times because people love to see it. It's so amazing. It's like a flipbook feature inside the book.
It's a surprise.
The orchids come together for an emotionally satisfying ending, and people just love that. The books have won awards for both the cover design as well as the interior design.
Mm-hmm. So the first time that you received notification that you'd won an award, what was that? Which award was it? And how did you learn of it? And what was that like?
I got notified within 1 week, both from the Pinnacle Award, the Pinnacle Achievement Award, I think was the very first award I received. It nearly brought tears to my eyes because this is years of work. It is pouring my heart out on the page. It's working on craft. It's working, so hard to get to that point. And so to have that acknowledgement was incredible. And also the categories for which the books were awarded, so Goodbye Orchid was the first one to receive awards, really were meaningful as well. So the books have won awards for multicultural fiction because Orchid is half Asian. And so, and she talks about that as part of her identity and she's working through that. And that's why she wants to go to China, is really understanding her identity. And then the books have also won awards for, as you had mentioned, disability awareness, which was so important to me. Combat wounded veterans are very much, paid homage to by really showing that with deep, deep empathy and a huge amount of research. And the books have also won awards for women's fiction, for best first novel, and for the design aspects that we just discussed.
Mm-hmm. And then in 2022, Goodbye Orchid was chosen. Goodbye Orchid was? Yes. Goodbye Orchid was chosen by the, I want to make sure I always say the name correctly, the International Pulpwood Queens Timber Guys Book Club. And so on the cover of Goodbye Orchid, I have to learn how to do things in reverse. You see this wonderful seal of honor that it was chosen. And for listeners who don't know, do you want to take a moment and talk about that book club and what that meant to you to have this book chosen?
What an incredible honor. Kathy L. Murphy, who's the founder of the Pulpwood Queens decades ago, in order to really elevate literature, in order to connect readers and writers, she created this international book club that has, chapters around the world. She herself, in fact, I met her for the first time ever a few weeks ago at the Pulpwood Queen Convention.
In January.
Mm-hmm. In Florida in January. And she told us that she herself reads more than 1,000 books a year.
Oh my goodness.
How do you do that?
We read one a week, but
three a day.
Oh my goodness.
And that, she does that in order to find the ones that are the most compelling, best written with this, real heart to it that tells a story that, she feels the world should hear. And so to feel like, that Goodbye Orchid and now Orchid Blooming as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Both been chosen.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow. After she's read 1,000 books, it is such an honor.
Amazing.
And to be, to be chosen alongside incredible incredible authors. You know, at the Pulpwood Queens Convention, I had the great honor to meet everyone from debut authors like Jeffrey Dale Lofton and Robert Gwaltney, yeah, to really experienced authors. Adriana Trigiani was honored there and came in person, as well as just, you know, she had picked books from Stephen King, from, you know, Barbara Kingsolver. Like, just to be in that, at that caliber is just incredibly heartwarming. And so it's meant so much to me and gave me great pride to be able to see the Pulpwood Queens emblem right here on the cover of Goodbye Orchid. Kathy Murphy says that these books have earned 5 diamonds in her tiara.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's fabulous. Let's just change direction for just a moment. I'd love to hear a little bit about your writing process. Like, do you use an outline, or did you, I know you created backstories, but do you write with an outline or not?
In these two cases, for my first two books, I have not used a really rigorous outline. I know some people have a, you know, 30-page outline. They will outline every chapter. That's not my experience with these first two books, not to say I wouldn't try it in the future. I do have to say, though, it was clear to me the conflict and the starting point of the story, and it also was clear to me what the ending, the arc, the growth, and what the ending point would be. But the actual nuances and what would happen in between, that was part of the joy of writing, was discovering, was to, you know, tapping on the keyboard and finding that, oh my goodness, Rena just showed up. Who's the character and what's she doing?
And what's she wearing? And what's she wearing? let's see. When I think you still are also professionally working. When did you find time to write? How do you find the time to write?
It's often a question I get, and I do work full time. So for me, writing was at night and on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And this is part of why I dedicated my first book, Goodbye Orchid, to my humorous hubby, because he makes everything else around me work really well so that I can focus on being the best person I can be. Mm-hmm. He does the dishes and the grocery shopping and the laundry so that I can write. And for that, I am forever grateful.
Mm-hmm. Happy life, happy wife. Mm. Happy wife, happy life, whichever way it is.
Birthday, can I ask a question?
Of course you can ask a question. Please do.
Particularly as I get into the book I had read before, which Goodbye Orchid, where did you go to get all the research, particularly involving the veterans and the wounded veterans?
Research is so important because I was so respecting their experience. And to be respectful, I felt it deserved a lot of research. There is a lot of information available online, in books. I read, you know, books in the library. I watched videos. But I also did find that the secondary research wasn't quite enough. And I needed to also do my primary research. Mm-hmm. And so I talked with surgeons, doctors, psychologists, therapists to understand the full recovery journey that Phoenix would have to go through, not only physically, but emotionally and mentally as well. Mm-hmm. And then I think some of the most touching pieces of research I did were with combat wounded veterans themselves, to be able to see to them firsthand, hear about their experience, have them read the stories before they're published to ensure that I was really getting the story right. And to be able to hear feedback from combat wounded veterans that they loved the story, that they thanked me for putting it out into the world, made that work, you know, more than worth it.
Mm-hmm. What did you use sensitivity readers as well to make sure you were on par, on the spot? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And I think you also have shared about the power of being part of a writing group and working. And do you want to take a moment to talk about why writers should be find a writing group to work with?
Sometimes writing can feel lonely, so it's lovely to have a community. And for me, the fact that my writing community when I first started out was in person made all the difference in pursuing the path to publication. Because we would meet every other week around Mary Lee Waldron's kitchen table to read our work out loud to each other. And when I read the chapter, when Phoenix wakes in the hospital and sees what's happened to himself out loud to these fellow writers, I was able to bring this table of authors to tears. And that's the moment I knew that I wasn't just writing for myself, because that is how it started. But that actually my story had the power to touch people's hearts.
So what's next? What's next?
Book three, Goodbye Orchid, is going to be a trilogy. And Always Orchid is going to come out before the end of the year.
Wow. Well, this is only February still, right? I don't know. It already feels like the year is flying by. That's very great. Exciting. Let's see. Where can I'm looking at time all of a sudden here, Carol. Where can people find you, follow you, find out where you're going to be appearing and so forth?
I would love for readers to connect with me on my website, carolvandenhende.com, carolvandenhende.com. I know it's a mouthful. /contact has a place to sign up for my newsletter. And that's the best way to find out what's happening, you know, promotions, where I'm speaking. I'm signing at a Barnes & Noble in Maui in a week or two.
Oh my gosh.
It's doing an author signing at a winery in New Jersey this coming weekend. So that's the best way to keep it.
I think we need to become
authors. I have one last question, and this is just a out of the air kind of question. But would you say that what's the best investment you've made in your literary career?
It's not a financial investment. It's the belief in myself. And I think every author can find that and believe in that. I met with a friend recently who said, I'm an aspiring writer. I said, if you write, you're a writer.
You're a writer.
You don't have to be an aspiring writer. Yeah. Believe in yourself.
We have so enjoyed the time with you, and we feel so privileged that we actually had other time with you earlier this week. This has just really been delightful, and we really thank you for being with us. Don't go away. You're still here, but we are going to go ahead and I'm looking at the time on the camera. So we need to
what's next week?
What's next week? Oh, next week. It's already next week. So next week we have LA filmmaker and author Michael Wohl will be with us, and we'll be talking about his memoir In Herschel's Wake. He'll be with us next week. And you have a quote.
We do have a quote.
We have a quote. Estee Lauder.
Yeah. Our character, at least in the cosmetics business, which we didn't talk about too much, but she's in the cosmetics business.
Orchid.
Orchid. And we used to be in the cosmetics business also. And particularly, we were very well affiliated with Estee Lauder. So we thought probably a good quote would be one from Estee Lauder herself. And she says, I didn't get there by wishing for it or hoping for it, by working for it.
Yes, we thought that was appropriate. And she sure did. Well, we really want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. And we want to thank the Hot Texas Swing Band for the gift of their music, and Sam Hassan, owner of LA Talk Radio, for being with us, making sure everything goes smoothly. Let's see, who else do we want to thank, honey? Well, we want to thank Carol for with us tonight, most of all. And we thank her in advance for the next book that is going to be coming out, another great gift to readers. And I think we will see you again next week, same time, same station. And remember,
it's always a great day out west.
listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.